Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day Sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. It's Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible. Hanging out. The bad, see the broken, the bad, I want the bad, I don't see the hanging around a bunch of bad, I don't know about the bad, love bad, bad, it's such a bad vibes. We are live in the Magic City Studios in the Varela Palatial, right across the river and through the woods from our granny, was just telling me that she loves snapping bowls of the animal face crumble in New York City. The Big Apple, ooh. People dressing plastic bags, ready to drive it in some kind of fashion, shake it up, should do be all my friends that come around, flood the party up, rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown, what a mess, it's tough to tell them, brain splattered all over Manhattan, should be shaking up. Hey, what's gigging? I'm Farrell with Carver High this evening. The number is toll free, 844-843-6879 to get on the bench. Later in the second hour, we will hang out with our good friend who is completely nuts. He is certifiable, Carver High.
He's definitely certifiable. I just talking to him this afternoon on a text message. He's crazy. Like, it's just even texting with the dude, like, it's like, where is this guy? But he's unbelievable. He really is.
We got Ozzy, the sports junkie from Tampa on the show. He's I can't even fathom what he's going to be like at, late night. I don't even know. Like, there could be potential for all kinds of shenanigans. He could be inebriated. He could be high. He could be, stoned. I don't even know. There's a difference from high and stoned in my world. High, yes, means lit. Stone means baked, right? So he could be drunk. He could be smashed. He could be, lit.
Like, he's like, let's do it as late as possible. I was like, all right, dude, second hour. I said, all right, let's do it.
Well, there you go. Well, it'll be interesting to get a different perspective from the enemy, because tomorrow it's for the world. Carver High's Islanders are playing Game 7 in Amalie Arena in the Gulf Coast down in Tampa for all the marbles. And it's, winner take all. There is no more tomorrow for the loser. Whoever loses is glad bags. Whoever wins goes to the Stanley Cup Finals. And we're in the middle of one right now as well, with Montreal up 2-1 after two periods on Vegas. And, of course, Caulfield with a beauty to give them the lead in the second. And then they're going to play into the third here. And Carey Price is 20 minutes away from the Stanley Cup Finals because he's been brilliant. I thought his toe jam save on, it was basically a pad save on Willie Karlsson, was unbelievable when he slid over with the leg and made that save on that beautiful pass down along the goal line into the slot. I thought that was magnificent. But I do want to get a perspective here over the next half hour from Carver High about some things I'll tell you about. We welcome in our radio affiliates, SiriusXM, Channel 204, our satellite partners, Mightier 1090 in San Diego and all of Southern California. Yeah, yeah, should do bad. Near to you wanna do you wanna. And Sports Map, Sports Byline, Armed Forces Radio all over the globe. Hoorah, soldier, hoorah. It's Pharrell on a bench with Carver High. So I want to get your the story of last night. So I was thinking about this earlier. This might have been one of the greatest games ever played in the old barn. I mean, you got Nystrom, Tonelli, you got Bossy, you got five straight, you know, conference finals, four straight cups, going for a fifth. Edmonton beats them in 84, I think it was.
Yep.
So, I mean, so they won it in 80, 81, 82, 83, 84. They lose. Finally, someone beats them, and it was the Oilers and Wayne Gretzky. So I was asking myself in this, because I go way back with them in history, and you know their history. I'm a lot older than you. I got 15 years on you, so yeah. That's a long time. And the bottom line is, I want to know if you feel that that was one of the greatest games ever played in the Coliseum. Is it the greatest game ever played, or was it some of those Nystrom goals, or Tonelli? Was it Bossy? What was it in the history of the building? What was the greatest games ever played there? Give me like three or four of them.
Well, look, I think that it's hard to distinguish anything, like mix anything in with the dynasty years. I think you have to take everything 80 to 84, and it's kind of on its own island. Like, it's just kind of there, and they won four cups in a row. I mean, they had a billion moments. The Nystrom goal for winning the first cup there at the Coliseum is always – it's not going to be topped unless they win a cup this year as they close in the building out. So when we come back, I will let you know that I do firmly believe that non-dynasty years, it was absolutely the greatest game in the history of the Nassau Coliseum. The greatest night.
And I want to know if it, but I want to know, is it, can you squeeze it in with the dynasty years into a like top four, top five ranking? Get into it. We're on the bench. All right, Pharrell on the bench with you. So how about this? Martinez just scored for Vegas, literally not even a minute into the third, after Pietrangelo had a wrister from the circle. Price made the save, but dropped the puck, and it was between his legs, and Martinez sent it under his satchel into the back of the goal five hole. That's a cheap goal, Carver High, because he never gives up rebounds. He dropped the puck and couldn't find it, and Martinez popped it through his legs under his stones, and they're tied up at two now in the third. And, I mean, that was literally, a minute eight into the third, or I think it was 18:52 left. All I know is that was a cheap goal. That is an ugly goal because he never gives up rebounds. He stops everything.
Yeah, that was listen, Carey Price has been absolutely ridiculous in this series. He picked the wrong time to give up a cheapie, because that was a cheapie. He had it. The initial shot from the point, he wrapped it up. He let it get loose, and Martinez just happened to be there, a defenseman down that low in the zone, and he pops it through his legs. Ooh, that's a bad one for Carey Price.
I mean, that's a really – it really is a bad one. So anyway, it's 2-2 with 17 and a half minutes to go. The Islanders were 11-1 in Stanley Cup Finals games at the Coliseum. Their only loss was a 1-0 setback in Game 1 in 84 to the Oilers. They used to call it Fort Neverlose. Did you ever hear about that?
Oh, yeah. Plenty of Fort Neverlose stories.
All right. Big so,
Here's the thing. I think it's hard to mix any of the non-dynasty stuff in with the dynasty. It's like it really is its own.
But why? I don't understand that. Like, it's either one of the greatest games ever or it isn't.
They won cups, so the games mattered more. You know, it just, if they end up winning the cup here, I think that that will obviously elevate the game a little bit higher. You know what I mean? I just think that you need to finish the job. But could you put it in the conversation of top five, even with those dynasty games, I think you absolutely have to. It was that big of a moment, and the place was just unbelievable. The energy in there. Well, for me personally, it's number one. For my all the games that I've been to in that place, and I've been to some of the biggest ones there, obviously, in the last 25 years. For me, it was without question the best game, biggest moment I've ever been to.
Wow. So anyway, so I have a list here of allegedly of the greatest moments ever. So let me see if I can do this in some kind of fashion. After winning three straight overtime games in their division semifinal series, the Islanders eliminated the Capitals in six games with a 5-3 victory.
The Dale Hunter game.
Caps the win. Huh?
That's the Dale Hunter game.
Yeah. A turnover by Dale Hunter. The Capitals captain takes out his frustrations by shoulder checking Turgeon into the boards. Thomas leads a charge of Isles piling on Hunter, who receives a then-record 21-game suspension for the hit. Turgeon suffers a separated shoulder, misses the next round, which the Isles win by beating the Penguins in seven games. Of course, I mean, that is crazy. Here's another one. Wayne Gretzky scores four goals as the Campbell Conference defeats the Wales 9-8 in the only All-Star game ever played at the Coliseum. As the 84 postseason began, the Islanders seemed ripe for the taking when the Rangers scored first in each of the game's first-round series against four-time Cup champs and hold them without a power play goal. Don Maloney sends the nerve-wracking decisive Game 5 into overtime with a stunning tying tally, only 39 seconds to go in the third period. Then low-scoring defenseman Kenny Morrow, becomes an unlikely hero by driving a screenshot past Glenn Hanlon, 8:56 of overtime to keep the Islanders' drive for five alive. Here's another one. Anchored in net by Billy Smith, the Islanders rattle off 15 consecutive wins, capped by John Tinelli's goal with 47 seconds left in the third period against the Rockies. The game marks the return of beloved Isles netminder Chico Resch to the Coliseum as a visiting player. The Penguins, losers of four of the Islanders' Magic 15, snapped the streak 24 hours later with a 4-3 win at the Civic Arena in Pittsburgh at the Igloo. Butch Goring scores twice in the first period of Game 5 as the Islanders beat the North Stars 5-1 to capture their second straight Stanley Cup. Mike Bossy scores two goals, including the game winners. The Islanders defeat the Canadiens to take the Wales Conference Final and advance to their fifth straight Stanley Cup Final. So Bossy had two, including the game winner there. The Isles four-peat would have ended prematurely if not for their dramatic comeback against the Penguins in the deciding fifth game of their opening round. New York trails 3-1 in the third period against the Scrappy Pens before goals by McEwen and Tinelli at 17:39 to send the game to overtime, where Tinelli strikes again at 6:19 of the extra session to propel the Islanders on their way to their third straight Cup. During a 7-4 win over Quebec, the game's ultimate sniper, Bossy, joins Maurice Rocket Richard as the only players in the NHL to have 50 goals in 50 games. He scores twice in the closing minutes, including the milestone tally with 1:29 to play in the third period. Here's another one. The Islanders complete a four-game sweep of the up-and-coming Oilers and win their fourth straight Stanley Cup. The Isles hold Gretzky without a goal in the series, and their big guns, Trottier, Tinelli, and Bossy, combine for three in two-minute span of the first period of Game 4. Boom. Sweep. And then up 3-2, Nystrom's first goal of the match gives the Islanders a 4-2 lead late in the second period of Game 6. Then the Flyers, who set a record of 35 games without a loss, tie the score on third period goals by Bob Daly and John Paddock. The Pat Coliseum is on edge during intense overtime until Nystrom tips Tinelli's pass Pete Peters to give the Islanders their first Stanley Cup. I think Nystrom's goal is the greatest moment ever. In the Coliseum's history. To win your first is like, you always remember your first of everything.
Right.
And I think that may be the greatest goal.
Yeah.
Right.
And an overtime goal, that's number one.
That might be the greatest goal ever.
That is the greatest game ever. That is the greatest game ever played at the Nassau Coliseum. The overtime winner against Philly that won their first cup, without question.
Okay, and then, but so now, somewhere in there, I think you're going to squeeze this game in because
that game is ahead of a lot of games. Yeah, that game's ahead of a lot of the ones you just rattled off.
Definitely. Right, because you're down 2-0 to one of the, obviously.
Defending cup champs and one of the best teams going. I mean, it's no joke.
Right. They're, you know, the team they're playing is the defending Stanley Cup champs. They got the best goalie in hockey, Vasilevskiy, going for the Vezina. I think they're so scary and so deep. I mean, they lose Kucherov and they still go out and, you know, they're so lethal that it's like you don't even notice he's not out there. If the announcer didn't keep saying it, you would have never known he wasn't there. I knew, and I obviously knew, but I'm saying when I saw Palat on the right dot, I was like, okay. Yeah.
Not much of a downgrade.
Whatever, let's go.
Not
let's
much see of a what happens. Palat goes out there in place of him on the power play.
I mean, not much of one, right?
No, it isn't.
I think Kucherov's better, but I think Palat's lethal. Anyway, so I'm sitting there watching the game. You're down 2-0, and then you get the Eberle backhander goes in. There you go. You're in the game, and then I just couldn't even believe that Mayfield, like, you have to tell me what happened because it seemed like he skated off the bench and nobody picked him up and he skated in like he was the only guy on the road on a Sunday morning going out to get coffee. And he just, he's the last guy I thought would score a goal.
Yeah, I think that entire play was Tampa basically not thinking that Mayfield was going to shoot the puck. And they gave him probably more of a lane than they would if that was a forward coming in with it. And Mayfield doesn't score a ton of goals. We know this. And he just happened to snipe one. I mean, he's, you know, it's probably a 1-in-20 shot that he gets it by Vasilevskiy there. But he picked the exact right spot to get it by him. And it goes in, hit the bar, and bang, shatters down. Big Scotty Mayfield with the big tie-in goal.
Crazy. I mean, like, that guy, he never scores goals. So that's crazy. And now, tomorrow night, they're going to play game 7. It's just insanity. All right, for all on the bench. So, Mayfield ties it up last night, and then you go to overtime. And I mean, it didn't take long. Now, first of all, describe to me how you got into the corner on the glass, kissing the window to begin with. And then you were right there in the corner where it all happened when Coleman turned the puck over and Bevilier stole it and sniped it in and won the game. And the place went crazy and they started whipping beer cans and hitting people in the head. And it turned into bedlam and you know, injury city. People getting hurt, people getting hit. It was insanity. So tell me how you got there into that corner. How did that evolve? And then could you even fathom what happened to you when you were standing there a minute later? Or were you standing in that corner the whole game?
Yeah, I was there the whole game, right in that spot. You can catch that the orange jacket was shining brightly up there. There's actually a guy who's been listening to me, you know, at the podcast for years. Big Islander fan who works for the team and also listens to our boy JJ. So I was on JJ's New York, New York show, I guess before the series started, kind of previewing the series with him. And he heard JJ say that he hadn't been to the Coliseum ever. So the guy said, one game this round, I'm going to try to set it up. You know, you and JJ come and we'll get you in for a game. So we picked game 6, hoping that it would get that far. And sure enough, it did. I didn't know the guy was going to put us all the way down there. But sure enough, right down there on the glass in the corner, we had a great spot for that game last night. That's for sure.
So what happened when – so you were there with Jastrzemski. And then what happened when it happened, like when they scored?
It was wild because obviously there's the euphoria going on. I mean, the whole place, it just, you couldn't hear a thing. Everybody's going bananas. People are jumping on each other. People are hugging each other. And then all of a sudden people just start throwing cans all over the place. And Jesus. I saw a couple land on the ice. And I'm looking towards where they're celebrating. So I'm looking out on the ice. I'm not looking behind me. And I see a couple of cans hit the ice. I'm going, what the hell's going on here? And then I felt a couple of cans hit me. And another one whizzed and hit the glass right by my head. And then I turned around and I saw them just raining everywhere. And it's like I said to you earlier, I think only 10% of the cans that were thrown actually made it on the ice. There was a lot more cans than what you saw sitting out there. It was bedlam. And then it just kind of spewed over. And it wasn't like a nasty thing. It was just, I don't understand why they did it. I don't know why everybody started throwing their cans of beer on the ice. It made no sense because nobody was in a bad mood. Nobody was angry about everything. It was all sunshine and rainbows for the rest of the night. I mean, people were out partying in the parking lot for 2 hours after the game. I still can't understand why they threw the big cans.
I know why they did it. I think they were trying to when like in Europe when you know in the
they throw the beers around. Yeah.
They spray the drinks.
Those are plastic cups.
But I mean, they throw the drinks and the beers. They start spraying everybody and champagne and everything. Same thing, same concept. They just start spraying whatever in their hand. The difference is that I think people were so excited in the Coliseum that they just started spraying. And instead of spraying, they just started throwing them because they were just so lit and so drunk. And I don't think they realized in the moment how dangerous it was. They were just doing it naturally. They were like, let's throw our drink. Let's spray. Let's splash each other with beer because we just won in overtime in game 6 to force game 7. And I think it was the dumbest thing I've ever seen in a home arena with a team that won, where they're throwing loaded bullets at their own players and at their own fans. It was the dumbest thing I've ever seen. But let me ask you, was it the greatest sporting event you've ever been to in your life, that moment?
Wow. You know what? That part I have not thought about today. I'd really only thought of it in an Islanders perspective of it being the greatest Islander, definitely the best Islander game I've ever been to in my life. I'm trying to think of something else that I've been to that kind of matches that level. I mean, I've been to Yankee playoff games, but none as big or as significant as that Islander game was last night. Never been to a Bill game that would match clearly that kind of a level of significance or intensity. I mean, there's probably a very good chance that it was the greatest and most significant sporting event that I've been to. Yeah.
So I was at, probably there. I've been at everything. I've been at 4 Olympics. I've been at 15 Super Bowls, 13 Indy 500s, multiple Kentucky Derbies, Triple Crown races, Belmont's, the Preakness. I've been to the Breeders' Cup. I've been to World Series multiple times. I've been to the Stanley Cup Finals multiple times, the NBA playoffs. I've been to the NCAA tournament multiple times, regionals. But there's nothing that topped being at the game that Indiana beat Syracuse at the Superdome in 87 when Keith Smart hit that shot. To see them come back from 13 down with 3 minutes to go, down 13 with 3 minutes left, to watch Syracuse melt down and lose that game and Indiana stop them on every possession and then win that game on that shot on a play that was designed. It went into Thomas. Thomas pump faked and did the right thing. Instead of shooting with a guy in his face, went on his cycle, he turned and he had Coleman and Cycle in his face, so he turned and threw it to Smart in the corner and he hit the baseline shot and they won the national championship. That was the greatest sporting event I've ever been to in my life, where I was actually at the moment of eruption, at the moment of victory, at the moment of undeniable, unbelievable comeback, no time left shot to win the whole kit and caboodle and party and celebrate. And then we went out and got just devastatingly torn up. I mean, I did things. I told you the story on the air many times. I just admit it. We ate a ton of mushrooms and we just started drinking. And that was it. I woke up like 2 days later. I mean, I don't remember anything. I had no pants on, the whole deal. But I just had the greatest experience. It was sold out. There was like whatever. The place was packed, so whatever they fit in that Superdome. And it was back when they first started having jumbo Final Fours in jumbo stadiums where they turned it into a spectacle, because before that they used to just play it in regular arenas. That's right. They played it in arenas up until then, and then they started having it in big venues. So that was the greatest thing I've ever been to. And I've been to everything. And I still pick that moment as the greatest one I've ever been to. Of all the things I've seen it all. And then I still just chose. I've had millions of great memories, but only one stands out forever, and it's that shot. I'll never, hopefully, forget. With, you know, how the mind works when I get old, I'll hopefully never forget that moment. That I'll never forget the names of the players. I remember the play exactly as it happened. I remember everything. Derek Coleman misses the front end of the 1-1. I remember Thomas to Smart. I remember, all the players on the team. It's just, I think last night you'll remember that night.
Definitely.
For the rest of your life, you'll remember 100%. That moment. And then like you and JJ will be lovers forever with joined at the hip on that, you know, moment that I'm sure one day he'll realize he's a young guy. One day soon, maybe down the road, he'll realize that. And I think you just came to that realization right now. That may be the greatest sporting moment of your life last night.
Listen, as I'm thinking about it now, I never put it into with everything involved. Today, I've only been thinking about it in terms of just Islander games and just the Nassau Coliseum that I've been to. And when you factor in the significance of the game, the way the game ended in overtime, the way that they came back in the game, the atmosphere of the crowd, when you roll all of those things together, I would have to say it probably is.
I think it already is. And here's another thing. They're closing the building. It may have been the last game ever, and hopefully it's not, but it may have been the last game ever that you'll ever see there, and you were at it, and look what happened at it. You'll never forget that. I don't think you'll ever top it in your life. And I know you might say, okay, well, the Bills might go to a Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl, and you might be there, but that would top it. But that hasn't happened.
Right. Okay, so these things don't come around all the time. I mean, that's another thing about last night. I mean, I waited, I'm going to be 41 this year. I haven't been in the building for a game of that significance in my entire life. I've been to a billion Islander games in my life, and none of them ever had the juice that game had going into it last night. None of them. And it ends up being a classic game.
I think that you, I believe your mind worked like this. This is me on the outside looking in going, I think you just thought, all right, I got a beer buzz on. We won. Let's party. Let's tailgate. That was the greatest game ever. And now we're playing one game seven for all the marbles. And you started worrying about Friday. But I think it was a bigger moment than that in your life. All right, Ricky in Indiana. I think he's in Indianapolis or something. You're on a bench.
Shake it up.
Oh, shake it up.
Yo, Scotty, can I get three fingers of Johnny Walker Black?
I think we have some Johnny in the Forella Pub, actually, for him. So that would be a fantastic idea. Maybe get him a beer, too,
I'm going to dust it off. Give me a minute. I'm going to pour you. Go ahead.
He has to find the right bottle of booze. We can't just give you any bottle of, you know, we're not going to give you some cheap knockoff whiskey.
I appreciate that, bro.
Yeah. So what's up?
Hey, so, man, we're talking about that Carver High game with the Islanders game, but I want to talk about a more monumental game if I can, and that was the game that, I don't know if you remember, I called in a month ago, and I just took a second mortgage on my house, about $40,000 large, on the Nets winning the NBA championship. Do you remember that call?
I do.
Yeah. Well, we thought I might need that drink. I might need two of them.
Yeah. It sounds like you're going to need the whole bottle. So we're just pouring one drink after the next.
So here's the deal. So He might, and I mean, he might let me get one more double or nothing off, and I'm thinking about just throwing it all down and try to get back to even. What do you think about you got any locks?
Well, I mean, what bet are you trying to make?
Well, anything, basically, that would get me back to even, because I'm down 40 large after that. They didn't win the
That's a dangerous way to make a living, is trying to catch up on that problem you have. I'll be honest with you. That's a scary, very scary way to make a living. As Clint Eastwood says, dying ain't much of a living, boy. All I know is you're 40 large in the hole trying to turn it to even. You know, that just, Carver High, that doesn't sound like a smart idea, because if it goes to 80, then you start, you know, you'd be walking on a bridge.
Yeah, you're playing a very dangerous game when you're trying to, you know, sometimes the best way to get out of the hole is to put down the shovel. But
yeah, I don't know. I think that I have no idea, because you can't guarantee, like, tomorrow, game seven with the Tampa and the Islanders. You can't guarantee this game. If Vegas scores and wins, they'll have a game seven in Vegas. You can't guarantee that, you know, the Clippers are, you know, trying to get back in that series tonight. And I've been watching the game, and, you know, right now it's, I think, 56-53 Clippers in a timeout in the third. Tons of time left there. 58-53 now. They're up five with 7.5 minutes to go in the third. And then Atlanta's up on Milwaukee 1-0, and they play game two tomorrow night. I don't think anyone knows, Carver High, to be honest with you, and Ricky, who's going to win those series. I think people have handed the Suns the series prematurely. Everybody was like, I saw TV today. Every guy on TV said the same thing, that the Suns, it's over. And then literally everyone, like, it's over. And then I said the Clippers are going to win tonight, and this is going to be a series. I think there's no way I believe the Hawks are just going to mow through the Bucks because they won game one. I don't believe that at all. So I don't think anybody knows who's going to win anything. I don't think anybody knows who's going to win this hockey game right now. I don't think anybody knows who's going to win the Islander-Tampa game tomorrow night. So you making a bet for $40,000 is basically insanity. That's the best advice I can give you. Don't do it. You know, there you go. All right, thanks, Ricky. Carver High, you know what I'm saying? I wouldn't make that bet. Yeah. If I were him, I would. I'll be honest with you. At this point, when you're 40,000 in the hole, your mortgage, your family, your wife, I would run to the Caribbean and leave my family, shave my head, get really tan, maybe cut a slice of your face off, have a scar from eye to chin so that no one recognizes you, and just focus on a deep, dark tan, start speaking French, and live on the French side of St. Martin or the Dutch side, either, or speak Dutch or French, and never come back, ever. You know, yeah, when the visa runs out, come back for 2 days and then go back.
That's tough. You gotta take some small baby steps when you're down that big. Small baby.
I don't know
steps.
What to say to somebody who tells me they lost $40,000.
Vegas came.
I'd end up in a rubber room or in a casket. I mean, I don't know what to say to you. Like, I think people, I know people. I actually know several people that make those kind of bets. I know several people that bet that kind of money, and it's just crazy.
Like, I just got a tweet from one of our listeners here, Daniel Huff, and he said, tell him to bet the 40 the next time the Yankees play the Twins.
Now that's a good bet.
That's a good one right there. Nice job by Daniel, because the Yankees never lose to the Twins. So that's a great bet. There you go.
That is a great bet right there. But I don't know if anyone could, like, would you have bet the Padres to sweep the Dodgers? Because I bet on Kershaw. I bet on Musgrove last night. But, you know, the first game, I forget who was pitching. I don't even remember that first game. It was Monday. But
Monday
I didn't think they
oh jeez.
I didn't think they'd sweep them.
Darvish pitched on Monday night. Darvish pitched Monday, right?
Darvish. I would have probably bet Darvish that night, and then I bet Kershaw, and then I bet Musgrove. But yeah, it was if you would have bet for
Darvish,
them to win
Snell,
all three.
What? Darvish, Snell, Musgrove were the three pitchers for the Padres in those games.
I lost the Snell game. He won and beat Kershaw. I couldn't believe it because he hasn't pitched good all year. In my opinion, he hasn't pitched. He's not the same guy he was in Tampa. I don't know. There's something wrong with him.
And he's not been good this year.
Am I wrong? There's definitely, he's not the same guy. Do you think that they knew, and that's why they made that deal?
Very possible. Very possible.
Because that's how dirty baseball is.
But Tampa has a knack too for getting rid of guys at the right time. Like, they're just such a shrewd organization. They always seem to make the right moves, and they might have known that. You know, he was getting close to this.
Well, how about this one? Here's a bunch of stories. The Pirates are going to beat the Cardinals tonight.
Wow. They're up 7-1.
They're up 7-1. They haven't beat them since 1929. And then the Astros are going to make it 11 in a row. They're up 12-2 on the Tigers in the ninth. And then how about this one? The Rays beat the Red Sox 1-0 in a game that Pivetta had a no-hitter going in the he went 6 2/3 of no-hit ball, and then they took him out, and they went to the bullpen, and unless I'm wrong, and then they ended up losing the game 1-0 to the Rays.
Wow.
And the Rays had two hits in the game. That was it. And he didn't lose. He didn't get the loss. He just had a no-hitter, Pivetta, into this, seventh. It was 6 2/3. So he went to the seventh with a no-hitter. He did not finish. They went to the pen, and then they lost the game 1-0. How about that?
Wow. That is that's a good one there tonight. That's a tough way to... That's a tough way to lose, that's for sure.
Now the Pirates are up 8-1. How about the Cubs lead the Dodgers 1-0 after two at Chavez Ravine? The Indians are up on the Twins 4-1 in mini. That they got to Barrios, and they're up 4-1 on him in the eighth, so he's out. And then the A's beat the Rangers today. Jays 9-0 over the Orioles. Reds beat the Braves 5-3. Nationals beat the Marlins. I hit the Nats, the Reds, the Jays, the A's. And I actually went with the Red Sox. They lost. And the Yankees I hit. So, and the Astros I'm going to hit. I'm going to lose that Pirates. I can't believe the Pirates are beating the Cardinals in St. Louis. I mean, literally, they are their kryptonite. They never beat them, ever. I mean, I have never lost to, like, more games to a team in my life as a Pirate fan than the St. Louis Cardinals. I mean, they have just, it's been a torturous century of losing to them, literally. I mean, it is just the worst thing ever. They have lost. I mean, if you look at their history, I mean, you probably puke. If you look at it, how the Cardinals, if you looked at it, you would hurl projectile like from The Exorcist, projectile hurl if you saw the record of the Pirates against the Cardinals over the years. It's so bad.
But no, I feel like it's been, like you said, we do these scores all the time. We talk about the games. I mean, this is years and years of the Pirates. And I know the Pirates do a lot of losing, but they always lose to the Cardinals. I mean, even that one year they played in the playoffs, they lost to them. The one time the Pirates make the playoffs, they actually make it to that divisional round. And who do they got to play? The Cardinals.
How about this? My buddy went to the Nationals-Pirates series that was last weekend. And I think it was last weekend, right?
I think so, because that's the one where didn't Schwarber hit all those home runs last weekend against them? Yeah.
So he went to that. And he sat at PNC for 3 days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And he bet, I think he bet 10,000 a day on the games. And he won. He ended up walking out of there with 10 because he won twice and lost once. Yeah, they took 2 of 3. I don't know. It was the Indians.
Oh, yeah, that was last weekend. That's right. They took 2 out of 3 from the Indians last week.
They took 2 of 3 from the Indians, and he went in there and bet 10 large every day. And he called us from the game. He had, like, front row seats, like, because he's no joke. This guy is a heavy hitter. He is no joke. My guy drove, like, he's rolling in, like, a $200,000 Mercedes. He drove 7 hours to Pittsburgh, and he got a hotel room. In a nice hotel, a real nice one that I know of, and he just went to the ballpark by himself every day, and he just went to bet on those games and watch those games. I'm like, who in their right mind drives to Pittsburgh to watch the Pirates that lives in New York City? And it was him, and he bet all three games, 10 large. Now, I know that I have no idea what his intentions were. Maybe they were he could only use the apps in Pennsylvania. I don't know what his betting schism was, what he was up to. But I know that he would FaceTime me. The guy was FaceTiming me from behind home plate, like row one. He was sitting on the net, and he's like, "Look, you can watch the pitcher. The guy's throwing a 90-mile-an-hour fastball right at my camera." And I'm like sitting there watching it. He had the best seats in the house for 3 days in a row. And he just sat there and drank beer and ate food. He goes, "Permane sucks." And he was loving life, just watching the Pirates. I couldn't believe it. Nobody does that. You must be nuts. All right, so... the hockey game's going to go to overtime in Montreal, where the Canadiens are 4-1 in overtimes in the postseason. And we've already seen them win in overtime in this series. So all I know is, Carver High, you like Montreal to finish him off here, win, series over. And I got to tell you, I hope that happens. I got to be honest. I hope that happens. But... that's because everybody thought in the world just had this. They were -440. They were such heavy favorites that Montreal had no chance. And whenever I see no chance at all, they are doomed. They have no chance. Might as well not even show up and play. Whenever that happens in sports, I always root for the team that has no chance. And Montreal has kicked their ass up and down in this series, if you ask me. But I'm telling you, what I saw in that third period, I thought Vegas dominated the third period.
I thought that Vegas had so many chances in the last 5 or 6 minutes to finish this game off, and they didn't do it. Here's what worries me about Vegas in this overtime and why I think Montreal will win. The entire series, Vegas has made mistakes. And Montreal has always capitalized on them. And if they make another one in this overtime, that's how these games are won. Look at it last night. How the Islanders win. A mistake by Tampa. Mistakes are what win these overtime games. And Vegas keeps making tons of them.
It's always mistakes. It's never anything else. It's always a mistake that leads to the goal. Just like the game you were at last night. So coming up in the second hour, we're going to have Insanity 101. As we bring in Ozzy the sports junkie from Tampa, and he's completely off his rocker, which is what I love about him. I lived with him in the 90s, and believe me, for 3 years, we were basically terrorists. I mean, honestly. Felons. Rolling felons. And perverts.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, Gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than 2 decades of experience, with the simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelancer profiles, and get help drafting a job post or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them and take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's Upwork.com, Upwork.com.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.